submit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Asherahs and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And on that day, they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." And then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. And while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. And the men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. And that's as far as we're going to read. Isn't that something? Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for your truth. And God's a God who forgives and who gives us a new beginning. Amen? He's a God that, you know, if we learn anything from the story, it's that he's just so powerful. He can do, you know, so much more, immeasurably more than what we can even fathom and what we can even imagine. The situation here was that, you know, they were under attack. The Philistines were going to destroy the Israelites, and they cried out to God, and they truly repented. We need to get that today. We need to understand it. I want to talk about that in a bit, but how they confessed their sins, and they came to God, and they asked Samuel to be the mediator, and they said, "Samuel, you need to stand in the gap for us here." And they repented of their sins, and they turned their hearts. They turned their hearts completely back to God. And then the Bible says that God thundered. That's all he did. He just rumbled. He let the rolls of thunder. I don't know how it actually sounded. Probably a lot better than that. But he thundered. God just thundered. And the enemies were defeated. The enemies were completely defeated. God didn't have to flick him off the map. God didn't have to strike him with his hand. He just thundered, it says. And they were thrown into such confusion that they started to fight each other, and they were easily defeated. Man, I'm so glad today that God's a God who forgives, and that God's a God who, when we repent and when we turn from our sin, he's just so ready to receive us, aren't you? I'm so glad that when we come to God with all of our hearts, and that's what, you know, what I think we need to understand too in this passage, that Samuel says that if you're ready to turn to God with all of your heart, God says, "I'll be there for you." And when you're ready to really turn to me, I will be there for you. Listen, someone's looking at me funny, so I want to make sure you see that. Verse 2 and 3, it says, "And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, 'If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Asherahs and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and you will, or he will, deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.'" It isn't words, though. Let's get something straight today. It isn't just the words that come from our mouths that matter. Real repentance and a real turning to God with all of our hearts, you know, it's not just words. It's really, repentance is a matter of my heart, not really a matter of my words. You can have all the words. You can say things right. You can have the prayers down pat. You can memorize them. But it's what's going on in your heart is what really matters. And sometimes what you say can be just exactly the right thing, but your heart is corrupt and is out of line with God. And it's not really repenting. It isn't just what we say that matters. It's what's going on deep inside of us, that we're really seeking God and wanting God's righteousness with all of our hearts. Imagine that you had a son who came to you one day and he said, "Dad, I did a terrible thing last night. I walked by your dresser and I saw your wallet there and I took the wallet and I looked inside and there was money in it and I took the money and I'm so sad, Dad. I feel so bad about it. Will you please forgive me?" You'd probably say, "Okay, son, thank you for confessing. I'm glad you let me know, you know, and I'm saddened by it too. You're forgiven." What about if the next day your son came up to you again and he said, "Dad, I have really made a big mistake. I was walking by your dresser and I saw your wallet there and there was money in it and I took the money and I've wasted the money away. Will you please forgive me?" And what about if on Tuesday the same thing happened? Your son came to you again and he said, "God, Dad, I found your wallet." You keep leaving your wallet all over the place, apparently. Dad might want to, you know, figure that one out. But what happens if this happened Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and by the time Friday came, your son said, "Dad, I made a big mistake. I took your wallet, and I took the money that was in it, and I've spent it recklessly, and I need you to forgive me. Dad, will you please forgive me? I'm so sorry." How would you feel as a father? Wouldn't you feel like, man, this is not sincere? You know, you should feel like this is not sincere. If this happens over and over and over and over again, there isn't sincerity in your confession. And what we need to understand is that God's a God who responds to sincere confession. We need to literally get on our knees. We need to be humble and contrite of heart. We need to not just say a bunch of words that we think are going to please God and turn his heart to us. Because God is not interested in your words. God is not interested in your words. He's interested in your heart. He wants your heart to be changed. And the Bible says today that if you will turn to God with all of your heart, then God will be there, that God is faithful. And God will rescue you, and he will deliver you. And I don't know what you need to be delivered from, but you do. You know what you need to be delivered from. And God says, "Listen, I'll deliver you from this. I will deliver you. I will set you free. I will remove the chains of bondage." But that repentance needs to be genuine. It needs to be a matter of your heart. You understand that? Is that pretty clear? Well, one of the things that Samuel says that I think drives this home is when he says, if you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. Let's talk about the ridding of ourselves, because that's such an important thing. We need to rid ourselves sometimes. And I don't know what you got to rid yourself of, but I'm going to challenge you today, and I believe God's word is going to challenge you, that there's some things in your life you need to get rid of. And that a lot of times what we tend to do is we just pay lip service to God, and maybe we go to church, we read our Bibles a little bit, we talk a nice Christianese, but we're not really ridding ourselves of what needs to be gone from our lives. Get rid of. Do we all understand that term? Like, that's not a Hebrew term, right? That's just a good old English, you know, three little, get rid of. Are we getting it? Get rid of it. Be done with it. Literally, if you wanted to know the Hebrew word, it means to throw away. You gotta throw this away. And we tend not to do that. We come to God and we pray things like this. We say, "God, you know, I'm a raging alcoholic, for example, and I need you to take this away. And Lord, I pray that you'll take this addiction from me." But in the back of our minds, even while we're praying that, we're thinking, "Well, I still got that six-pack in my fridge, though," right? Or maybe the struggle's with pornography, and we pray, "God, can you guys settle down, okay? I'm going to come over here so I don't hear you talking." There's a lot of, 70% of men who are Christians who go to church struggle with pornography. And so we make that prayer to God. We say, "God, take that away. I'm so tired of that dirty feeling. I'm tired of the way that I treat women, even by looking at those pictures. Lord, remove that from me." And yet, when we open our computer the next time, under our favorite bar, there's that XXX thing again. And it's so easy for us to click on it. You need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it. We're just playing games otherwise, right? We're just playing games. Get rid of it. Be done with it. Throw it away. We hold on to things that we should not be holding on to. Jesus Christ has come to set us free. I get this mental picture in my head of, you know, how we're chained sometime to our sin. And Jesus comes and he takes all the chains off of us. He removes the shackles and it's laying on the ground. And then Jesus is right there in that same prison room with you and me. And he says, okay, now come with me, my son. And he grabs me by the arm and he says, let's go. I want to bring you to freedom. I want to bring you to victory. But what I'm doing is I'm grabbing onto those chains. They're familiar. And I'm holding on and I'm bracing myself against it. And I'm holding those chains over my shoulder. Even though they're not any more connected to me, I'm holding on to them. And Jesus is saying, come. And I'm just holding on. And you know what? You'll never be delivered until you let go. And that is, you know, what the Bible says in this passage, he will deliver you. You need to let go. You need to let go of your old life. You need to let go of your old addictions. You need to let go of the old man. And Jesus will literally stand there and wait for you to let go. He says, until you're ready to give me your hands, until you're ready to let go of those chains, I have removed those chains from you. Until you're ready, I'll just stand here and wait for you. We need to get rid of. What do you need to get rid of in your life? What do you need to get rid of? It can be a lot of things, I think. You know, the problem is that we've been coming. And please bear with me here, and I don't mean to be offensive, and I don't want to turn you away. I want people to keep coming to the front. I want people to pray and come to God. But we should not be coming to the front. We should not be praying to God to change our lives. And as we come to the front, we still got a crack pipe in our back pocket. Because we're just playing games. When that happens, we're just playing games. God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold and not in between, not this lukewarm thing. If you're just lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. What do you need to be rid of? There are idols in our lives that we hang on to, and maybe we don't even recognize, you know, how important they are in our lives. What about a cell phone? If your cell phone, it doesn't say this in Matthew, but it could very well say it. If your cell phone is causing you to sin, throw it in the river. Now, Jesus really said, if your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. But if your cell phone is causing you to sin, get rid of it. It's just simple as that. Get rid of it. Be done with it. And you go, what? This guy's crazy, this pastor. Who would get rid of his cell phone? Everyone needs their cell phone. Well, I got news for you. It wasn't that many years ago that none of us had cell phones, and somehow we managed for hundreds of years to live without these things. And if your cell phone is causing you to sin, and it is driving you away from God, and it is making you hold on to those chains, then by all means, throw it in the river and be done with it. Or if your Xbox, if your Xbox is causing you to sin, and you're playing Call of Duty. What is the new one called? Black Ops or something like that. Not that you can never play something like that, but I know people who are playing it 4, 5, 6 hours a day, and I'm just saying, if that's swallowing up all your time, and you're wondering why you don't have much time left for God, and you're not really spending much time in the Word, then stick that little box behind the rear tire of your car when you're backing out of the driveway, and get done with it. Be done with it. Get rid of it. If it is causing you to be distracted, if it is causing you to not have the relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, then get rid of it. Or if you've got an old jean jacket, you got an old jean jacket that you still got in your closet and it reminds you of that old boyfriend of yours. And it just brings back lots of memories and lots of feelings. And most of them not very good. But you keep hanging on to it. Or maybe that old Zeppelin record that you used to hang out together by. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Throw it away. There aren't any record players anymore anyways. So chuck the thing. Use it like a frisbee. But get rid of it. Whatever that idol is, get rid of it. I asked my wife about this morning, but for a long time, under the cupboard that we have in our bedroom, there was a little shoebox that we had filled with letters of hate mail that I had And there really was. It was people who wrote me letters when I went through all kinds of bad things, and I was a huge disappointment. And there were people that wanted me to know that I was a huge disappointment. And they sent me letters, and we had a whole shoebox full of them. And some of them were very, very awful and hurtful. And, you know, Hallmark doesn't have a category for, I'm so disappointed in you, Pastor. So people made their own category, you know. You've let us down so tremendously, and we're horrified. There's no category in Hallmark for, I'm horrified with you, Pastor, for what you've done. But for probably about a year, we got letters from all over the place, and it seemed like almost everyone who wanted to write me had to make absolutely sure that I understood that I really had blown it, as if I didn't get it by that point. I already kind of understood that. But, you know, how disappointed, but yeah, we're praying with you, but we're horrified with what you did, that sort of thing. But anyways, we kept this in a shoebox, and one day, my wife, without asking me, did the wisest thing she could possibly do. She grabbed it, and she threw it in the fire, and she burned it. Yeah. I don't think that I even knew it at the time. I didn't realize it for a while, but there was something in the spiritual realms that broke off when that happened. Because it needs, are you understanding what we're saying here? And we need to get rid of that stuff. There's a bondage in that, and if you keep hanging on to these relics, these old jean jackets, these old CDs, this whatever it is, you hang on to that stuff, and it can have a bondage over you, and it can have a control over you, and that God, you're still holding on to that God with a firm grip, even though you've been set free from it, from the power that Jesus Christ has given you. And the best thing that ever happened was when that shoebox got burned. And there was a freedom. There was a new freedom in our family, in our home. And God says that today. He says, you know, get rid of it. Be done with it. And quit playing games. You either want to follow me or you don't want to follow me. And if you don't want to follow me, that's all right. You want to do crack? Then go ahead and do crack. Do all the crack in the world. Just keep doing it. It doesn't matter. But you're either going to follow God or you're going to do crack. You just got to decide. But you can't do both. You can't have it both ways. You want to steal things? You want to be a shopaholic or a kleptomaniac? Then do that. Go ahead and steal. Like, it's up to you how you live your life. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but I want to tell you this, that if you want to follow God, you can't do that. So you got to decide. You're either going to fill your pockets with the stuff that comes from Walmart, or you're going to fill your heart with Jesus. You're going to fill it with Jesus. And that whatever you do, decide. Just decide. Are you going to live for God or are you not going to live for God? But if you're going to live for God, here's what God says, that you need to turn with all of your heart to me. You need to turn with all of your heart. I do not want you hot or cold. I want you hot or cold. I do not want you so lukewarm that I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I want you on fire for me, is what God says. I want you to have a passion for me. I want you to have a zeal for me. I want you to know that I can change your life and I can do it like that. But you have to come to me with all of your heart, and you need to let go. You need to let go of the gambling. You know, you say to me, oh God, deliver me from my gambling. Oh God, this has stolen my rent time after time, and yet you've got a 649 ticket in your wallet. Come on. Come on. That's not following me with all of your heart. You've got to give in to God and follow him with all of your heart. And the promise that God makes is that he'll deliver you. Read what the passage says. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. You maybe don't have Philistines in your life, but you have enemies. You have other things in your life. You have other things that need to be defeated. You need victory in your life. God promises you that victory. And he has given us that victory through the deliverer, Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, give him a big hand. Thank you, Jesus. Samuel stood as a mediator between God and man. He stood in the gap. He says, I will intercede for you. I will beseech God on your behalf, Samuel said. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has done that for you in an absolute way. He is the mediator. He has stood in between us and the Father so that we are righteous, so that we are clean, so that his blood has covered us. There is one mediator, Paul says. There's one mediator between man and God, and that mediator is Jesus Christ, who has paid the full ransom for your sins. Hallelujah. There's one mediator. There's one who stands in the gap. There is one who takes and represents me before the Father, who advocates for me, and it is Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, it says that he is the mediator. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, a better covenant than the covenant with Adam. And his blood that is spilt is a greater blood, is a new covenant in his blood, and it's greater than the sprinkled blood of Abel. Is this blood of Jesus. You are washed, you're covered in his blood. And just as Samuel stood before the people that day with that little baby lamb, and he offered that lamb for the sake of the sins of Israel, just as he did that, Jesus gave up his life to be the mediator and to be the one who would take on his sin for us. He's our deliverer. He's the one who set us free. You get that? Man, this is such a great story of victory. What you and I could never do ourselves, what we could never pull off ourselves, God the Father has done through Jesus. He is, Matthew says, He is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist's words, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is who Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Matthew, when Jesus was born, Matthew says his name will be Jesus because he will free his people from their sins. He's freed you. Do you get it? You don't need to hang on to this thing anymore. You don't need to hang on to it. You can let it go. You can let it go. You can let it go. Because he has freed you from your sins. He can do whatever needs to be done. If his voice can just thunder, and if the thundering of his voice can set the enemy running away, imagine what God can do with the things that you're struggling with in your life. Imagine. And all that God requires, all that he's asking, is that you get serious with God and you quit playing games. If you want to play games, you go ahead and play games, but God won't be in it until you turn your whole heart towards him. He won't. God won't be in it. And sometimes we do that tug of war with God. We keep hanging on with one hand and we keep speaking with our mouths and doing something with this hand. Okay, God, oh, grab me, Lord. Oh, save me, God. Oh, be my deliverer, God. But we're hanging on with all of our might. Our fist is clenched onto that old sin. And until we're ready to let it go, until we're ready to release it, until we're ready to unclench our grip, we're not ready to have both arms open for Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? It's time that we stop coming to the front with a crack pipe in our back pocket. And that's just one analogy. There's 100 others. And yours might be something totally different. Maybe your problem isn't crack. Maybe your problem's greed. You know, if your problem is money, maybe you got to get rid of some of your money. Get rid of it. If it's causing you to sin, then get rid of it. Because it isn't doing you any good. Just get rid of it. So the word today is a challenge. What do you need to get rid of? What needs to be gone from your life? What do you need to throw away so that it's just you and God? Let me just add one more example, or one more thing. And this is a hard one. But maybe God's saying to you, you need to get rid of your friends. That those friends in your life are really not your friends. And that your friends, those people are standing in between you and me, God says. They're not leading you to me. They're leading you away from me. I know that's hard because friends are hard to come by, and these are people that you think have stuck with you for a long time. But if they're the friends that are continuing to lead you away from God, You need to be willing to release them too. You do. Idols in our lives. Here's how I define when something's an idol in my life. It's when that idol knows my name. I got a problem. When that idol knows my name, I got a problem. When that idol knows your name, then it knows who you are and it's calling your name. And it wants you. Whether it's gambling or whether it's that remote control, you know, you get sore thumb after a while. Whatever it is, get rid of it. Get rid of it. And turn your hearts completely to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, for your word, for your truth. God, I think if we just look closely at our lives and we do an inventory and we examine our hearts, we can see that there's times when things are really getting in the way of you, and there are idols in our lives, and we need to hear your word today and confess that the one way we can release that grip, it has to start with us confessing and letting you know that we're sorry, and that it's not just words, but Lord, that our behavior and our actions, something has to change in the way that we live. Something has to change in the way that we live, and this cannot just be words that we speak. It needs to be a change of our hearts. So I pray, God, that right now you'll open our eyes to see what is dominating our lives. What idol is that knows our name and is calling our name, God? And what it is that draws us away from you? Maybe it steals our time, or it steals our energies, or it gives us ambitions that are selfish and are not of God. God, we've touched on a lot of things today. Pornography and drinking, and Lord, there's lots of stuff. There's lots of ways. And we all, God, every one of us finds weaknesses in our lives. And we call today on you that you'll make us strong, God. That you will strengthen us in the power of your Holy Spirit. That you'll give us a firm resolve that does not come from us, but comes from you. That we will seek you with all of our hearts, and that we'll have the confidence today that as we seek you with all of our hearts, you will deliver us from our enemies. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Al, you want to do that song? Just sit and listen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the patrols, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? And why should we linger and heed not his mercy, mercy for you and for me? Come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, calling, calling, oh sinners, come home. Promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinners, come home. Come home, yeah, come home. Ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinners, come home.
Amen. Amen. So today, we're going to come home, and the way we're going to respond to God's word today, he says softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, we're going to come to the Lord's table, and Jill is going to introduce that and just lead us through this time. God bless you.
Sure. You're going to say what I was going to say anyway, Tim, so you may as well say it.
Okay. I was just really, I just want everybody to just know that the message that Stan gave today was a difficult message to give as a pastor, and I'll tell you why. Because it's the truth, and the truth hurts. And sometimes when we speak the truth, people become offended because that's our nature. That's our nature. But he spoke a word today that was probably the best sermon that I've ever heard, not because it had nice words, but because it was the bottom line, it was the truth. And the Word of God says that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I know there's people here today, Christians and maybe some non-Christians, that are needing some areas of their life where they need to be set free. And he gave the exact, what's the word I'm looking for? Recipe? He gave the exact doctors, if you like, prescription for how to go about that and get healing. Not just a partial healing. Not just a pill that relieves a bit of the symptoms. But he gave the answer. And I noticed today that we're going to have communion. And as he was preaching this message today, I was looking in my Bible and I checked with Jill because we've both got different versions. But this particular version is a Message Bible, and I'm not sure what version his was, but they're both good. But I'm going to read it out of this one, not because it's any better, but it's just a little bit more simpler for some people to understand. And this is what it says, and I want you to take this to heart, because it'll make the difference for some people here today between life and death. This is serious business. It's in chapter 11, and it starts in verse 26. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26. What you must solemnly realize is that every time that you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact it in your words and actions, the death of the master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the master returns, and you must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart, which is what he spoke about today. It's our heart that God's after. Come to this meal in holy awe. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk. Now, this is the point that I want to make. When we as parents correct our children, we're doing it because we want the best for them. You know, if even when we start off and we're 3 years old or 4 years old and we're told to look both ways before we cross the street, as a child we may not understand that at first. We may think, why are we spoken to a bit harshly about this? But it's because our parents don't want us to get run over. God does not want us to get run over in life either. He's not like possibly the father or mother we had that wasn't the perfect father or the perfect mother. None of us are. We make mistakes. But that's not the God that we have in heaven. The Father that we have in heaven cares deeply for us. And any way that he speaks to us and asks us to make a change, it's for our good. It's because he loves us. It's not because he wants to put the hammer down or put us like this. It's like Stan said when he walked quickly away. He wants us to go into freedom. That's what he's all about. So I'll just finish this verse. I'm going to repeat it. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. And that's why so many of you even now are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. If we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later on. And better to be confronted by the master now than to face a fiery confrontation later. Amen. Thanks for letting me share.
No, Tim, that's my privilege, because that was a hard word, and I'm glad you shared it, not me. It's a hard word. It's a really difficult word. And it was something that I was going to share this morning. So that was very much the Lord that you did that. That the God that we worship is a God of all truth and is a God who is spirit. They who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. This is a sacred event. Be holy even as I am holy. It is sacred. It is holy. Anything that God sets aside is sacred. This is a sacred moment between us and God and you and God. And the message that Stan preached was very much from the Lord. And all of us have things that we hang on to. All of us have things that we hold on to instead of God. And it's because of our rebellious hearts. And we don't realize that our rebellion is against the lover of our souls, who has one purpose: to set us free. So may the Lord our God, may the Holy Spirit, as he hovered over creation, hover over us this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Come and convict, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Call the names, Lord. Call them by their name, Lord Jesus. Help them to hear your voice, Lord. Call them, Father, because you desire to start a movement of your Spirit. You desire that your children would be on fire for you. Not playing church, as Pastor Stan said. That Jesus, you would be first in their lives. Lord, that you would be everything in their lives. Silver and gold have I not, but in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rise up and walk. That in this sacred time of holiness, that you can come. And you know in these areas of your life that you've tried to give them up. You've fought against it. You've not wanted to do it again. You said, like, my son, Lord, I don't want to be gay. Help me. Lord, I don't want to be addicted to this thing. Lord, I don't want to be caught up in it. I'm tired, Lord. I'm sick and tired. I'm tired of being caught up in the alcohol. I'm tired of being caught up in my addiction. I'm tired, Lord. And we cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm so tired of this. I'm tired, God. I need you to set me free. I need you to fill me. I need you to be my God, Jesus. And we hurt inside and we ache inside and nothing changes. And we go on from day to day and month to month and we know what God is calling us to and we don't change. God, I need your power in my life. God, I need your Holy Spirit to set me free. I'm caught up in my sin today, Lord. I don't want the alcohol anymore to control my life. I don't want this addiction anymore to control my life. God, I need you to set me free. Please, Lord, set me free today. Set me free of my judgment of my brothers and sisters. Set me free of the anger that's in my heart. Set me free, Lord, of my pride and my arrogance. Set me free, Lord, of my self-contentment. Set me free, Jesus, that I might know you, that I might follow you, Lord, today. I need you so desperately. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today, for this sacred event, for this sacred moment before your throne of grace, that I can come and there's power in the blood. Jesus, there's power in your blood. Jesus, your blood is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord Jesus, the same power that was in your blood at Calvary, your blood flows today, Lord. Jesus, I thank you that it pleased the Father to bruise you because you were willing to come and there's only one way. Even as you look at the front and you see the lights pointing in one direction. Even as you watch the birds fly as they flock and they're pointing in a direction and that direction is the Son of God. Even as you watch the birds fly south and they're flying in this arrow formation, it's because it's pointing to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Even all creation is saying, come to me, come to me, come to me. You've hung on for so long to some stuff. And it's just stuff. It's just stuff. And we're talking eternity here. And God has an opportunity for you today that there's power. His Spirit is hovering over this place right now. Thank you for your presence, Lord. He promised, whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. When we gather Sunday mornings, it's a sacred event. This is sacred before God. And if you drink and eat this blood and this body unworthily, that's why there are some sick among you and some are even dead. So let's take the reciprocal of that. If there's death in this because you don't eat it worthily, guess what? There's life in it. There's life in the body. There's life in the blood. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. There's life in the blood. That addiction today that you've been crying out for, that thing that has controlled you, that thing that has separated you, you fought with it. You fought with it. We sang the songs today, Lord, you're my healer. Lord, Lord Jesus. You're strong, Lord Jesus. You're the one who can fulfill me, Lord Jesus. And you need this. You need this so desperately. Lord, call the names this morning. Call them by name this morning, God. Set your children free, Lord. Bring healing, Lord, to your people this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, don't leave us the same. Don't let us be indifferent to one another. Lord, that you gave us a new commandment that we would love one another. Not that we would come here and we'd be cold and I'm going to love this person and hate this person.
and think that we're about our master's business. When it says discern the body of Christ, look around you. You are the body of Christ. And so much as you have anything against any person, you have that against Christ. You have only one door to your heart, and you close that door to any person, and you've closed that door to Christ. Let forgiveness reign today, Lord. Let forgiveness reign today, God. Let unity reign. In John chapter 17, Jesus' one prayer is, Father, Father, I pray that they would be one in me as I'm one in you, so that the world would know that you sent me. Our divisiveness in the body of Christ and in this place is a testimony to the world that God did not send his Son. And you want to hang on to that, and I want to hang on to that. God, forgive me. God, forgive us. We are one bread. There's one bread, and his name is Jesus. There's one cup, and it's his blood. His blood that he shed for you personally. It's not the world's sin that put Jesus on the cross. It's your sin. It's my sin that put Jesus on the cross. I remember when he showed me that. And it was my sin that crucified my king. And I fell down just weeping. God, I'm so sorry. And even now I struggle with sin. Please don't think that I don't struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. But I just want you to know there's one who's greater than my sin today. We saw that in Samantha's life this morning. There's one who's greater than my sin. And he is not condemning me. But all he is doing, he's standing there and he's saying with a gentle voice, come all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you want rest today? Do you want rest? Do you want to finally let that thing go in this Lord's Supper today? Let it go. Let it go. There's power. There's power to overcome. There's power to walk with him. There's power to shine with him, because he's never going to let you go. He loves you so much. There are two doors today. There's a door of life and a door of death, as Pastor Stan preached. You can choose to stay in your addictions and in your attitudes of your heart. Or you can come and you can be set free. Part of that is if you have any unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone today, forgive them. Forgive that person who trespassed against you. Lord, forgive them. I know this morning I was wrestling. Lord, I pray for that brother. He just doesn't seem to acknowledge me. It's like I'm invisible, God. And Lord, I just want you to know that I don't want my heart to be hard towards this person, Jesus. Lord, would you bring reconciliation? Show me what you want me to do, God. Or just help me to pray, Lord, so that we can be in unity together. This is your body. This is your blood. So as you come today, there's healing. There's power. There's authority. There are many different traditions in our faith about the Lord's Supper. Some of them have to do with being proleptic. Then when you come to the Lord's table, you're drawn into heaven. You're right with God. There are other traditions that when we eat this, this is his body. It's not a symbol. And that this really is his blood. That this is the blood of Jesus. There are other traditions that say that this is a symbol of his body. This is a symbol of his blood. There are many traditions. There are those who receive Christ every day, the Lord's Supper. There are some who receive it once a week, the Lord's Supper. There are others that receive it once a month. There are others that receive it once a year, the Lord's Supper. Many traditions. Whatever tradition you have as you come today, let it be done to you in accordance with your faith. This is about your faith. This is between you and God now. But what I'd like to do is I would like the leaders, and Melanie apologizes that she can't be here this morning. Stan asked that Melanie and I would do this, and her dad phoned this morning saying, I've really got the flu and I can't even get out of bed. So Melanie's act of worship this morning was to go serve her father. And last Sunday we weren't here because Melanie's back was gone. But let me tell you a story I shared with Stan yesterday and some others. I just couldn't help but share it. On Thursday night, I'm bending down to put air in my tire. And this has to do with the power of God. And I get up and my back is out. And if you've ever experienced that, it is excruciating pain and you can hardly stand up. And everything hurts because it's the center of your being. It supports all of you. And it hurts. And so I'm getting into bed and there's no place comfortable. Nothing is comfortable. And so you lay there, try to sleep, you take the ibuprofen, wanting the pain to go away, and it just doesn't go away. And you're awake and you're aching. Nothing's comfortable. And then the Lord showed me a picture of I was being crushed. Somebody had their arms around me, and they were squeezing me and crushing me. And so all I said was, the Lord rebuke the spirit of infirmity. And it was gone. Oh, like, I had to brag about it yesterday, to be honest. I had to tell people it was just so exciting. And Friday morning when we went to the had our meeting, I had to tell them, though, he did this for me. The pain was gone. I just relaxed. The ibuprofen kicked in and I slept. I got up the next morning and went to a prayer meeting. Melanie said, you're never going to go to that prayer meeting tomorrow morning. You're by far too sore. The last time this happened was four years ago. I spent 3 days in bed. I was up the next morning and I was gone. And my back is good. As you come to the Lord's table this morning, as he invites you to come, what is it that's holding you? You need his power. Ask him now. Let's just take a few seconds and just say, God, show me. There's power, Lord. It's your presence, God. It's your goodness, God. Thank you that you love me. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you for the leadership of our church now. I thank you, Lord, that those you've called to serve us, to lead us. And I ask, God, that you would give them grace to serve us and to lead us now. Father, that you have called them, you've chosen them. Help us to support them. Help us to pray for them. Let your will be done, Father. Let our group, let our fellowship, our little fellowship, count for something in your kingdom. Let us do that little part you're calling us to, Lord. So I ask now then, the ones that the Lord's called to be leaders, would you come forward, please? Pastor Stan, Crystal, Lynn and Hilly, if they're here. Those that have called to be leaders, would you come forward, please? The Lord has chosen these people to serve us. They've chosen these people to lead us. And so we bless them this morning. We bless them in their calling, that what they would be about is not just business. They would not have business meetings, but they would have meetings that exalt the King, that they're called to serve us, and that we would pray for them. We're not saying how wonderful they are. That's not it. We're saying how special they are because God has chosen them to lead us. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I, you know, Pastor Stan, if you would pray this, but you're our leader. We need you to lead us. And he is a gifted speaker. You heard him this morning and you've heard him. And we bless that gift in him. And we need him to lead us. And we need these leaders here to lead us now. You got to lead us. You got to minister to us. We need you desperately. You know more than many here. Lead us, Lord. Lead us through your children. We bless them. Let's just bless them. Put your hands out to them right now. Lord, we bless this leadership. Father, that they would be so about your business. Father, that they could not stop talking about you, Jesus. Lord, when they stand up, when they lay down, God, you would minister to them. that they would know your voice so clearly, God, your freedom, God. And so we bless them. And we thank you for each one now, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, brother, would you lead us in the rest of the service?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. So on that night when Jesus was with the disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body. And I give it to you." I'm going to ask you guys to go and distribute that. Pass that out. This is my body. The body of Jesus. Pass it. Give me a piece. There we go. Thank you, God. We're just going to wait till everyone gets a piece. There's some people in the back there. We eat from one body, as Jill said. We are one, just as the loaf is one loaf. We stand together. We maybe aren't all exactly the same, but we strive for unity, and we say together that these are my brothers and these are my sisters. Thank you, God, and that we celebrate this, and there's power in this. There's power to heal. There's power to forgive. There's power to give us a new beginning, and we need that today. Amen? Amen. I think there's just a few more. Okay, there we go. Anybody doesn't have one who wants one, just put your hand up. I want to make sure that no one gets left out here. Why don't we all stand? Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Take, eat, remember and believe the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that he gave for you." Thank you, God. And Don, if you would pass the trays and maybe give one tray to every two people here as leaders. I want the leaders just to stay up here. And I want you to come forward for the cup. So we're going to come by you, grab a cup, and then go back to your place, okay? And while we're doing that, we're going to sing a song. But just come forward and receive the cup. This is a new covenant, Jesus said. This is a new covenant in my blood. For the remission and for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Go ahead, Al.